Well, good morning. Glad you're here with me this morning. I'm going to try and share a couple of thoughts. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 12. If I get to the right page. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'd like to talk this morning a little bit about the abundance of the heart. I'm going to spend some time on the heart because that's critical. And I want to get to, try and make some points, but my main focus this morning, and hopefully I can get to it, got 4 pages of notes, and I don't know how that's going to work out. But I'd like to speak about the abundance of the heart. That's where I'm trying to get to talk about the mouth speaking from the abundance of the heart. Very interesting concept, especially when you look at it, and I'll get back to this a little bit later, but when you look at it, and Jesus mentions it about 4 times, or at least the context of it. And he never has anything good to say about what comes out of a man's mouth. Looking at the heart this morning, do you realize that the first time the heart is mentioned, the heart of man is mentioned in the Bible? It says it's only evil. The imaginations of the heart are only evil continually. That's a pretty bad way to start. But that's what God says about your heart. The next 2 times the word heart is mentioned in the Bible are also in that same chapter and 2 chapters later where it talks about God's heart, where our iniquities, our sins grieve God at his heart. And later on it talks about God and his heart and what he's not going to do to man because of their sin. And then again it says that the imagination of man's heart was only evil from his youth. Right. We got a bad problem. Did you ever think about that? We have a bad problem. We all have a heart. And yet God doesn't have much good to say about our heart. You ever hear the expression, he has a good heart? Red flag, people, red flag. Nobody's got a good heart. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, it says that because sentence is not carried out speedily, and I'm misquoting it, but it's not executed speedily against an evil, their heart is fully set in them to do evil. The natural propensity of our heart is toward evil.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but your grandma may have been a great woman, but she did not have a good heart. If anybody has a good heart, it's because it was trained that way. And that's sort of what I want to deal with this morning. It's the purpose of what I'm trying to say. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 that the heart is deceitful.
Amen.
That's pretty bad. But then it goes on to describe it a little bit more. It says it's deceitful above all things. You ever know a liar? Your heart is worse. Ouch. That's no fun. I have a bad heart? Yes, I'm sorry. You have a bad heart. That's what God says about it. He says a lot of different things about the heart. It's amazing. I've been reading Jeremiah lately. I don't know how many times it talks about an evil heart. The evil heart of man. The evil heart, the imaginations of their evil hearts. The thoughts of their evil heart. God doesn't have a lot of good things to say about your heart. But it does have some things to say about how we deal with it. Do you realize what your heart is? So many times we go through life and we talk about the heart. I mean, I've even heard on TV in different places throughout my life, just follow your heart. That's not exactly good advice. Okay? And we're going to cover some of those things this morning. But the heart is the core of your being. It's where the center of you thinks, resides, exists. You talk to yourself, you meditate, you purpose, you prepare, you do all these things, you make your decisions, you make your choices, you make your loves, you make your life based upon what you do inside your heart. You think. You plan. You dream. Your desires, your hopes, all your thinking about your future originates, deals with, circulates, rummages around, all goes through your heart. You know all those bad thoughts you had? They're dealing in your heart. And if you ever get a good thought, somebody trained you to think about it and you had to work at it to put it into use in your heart. A lot of things in the heart. I was thinking about it. We think in our heart. The thoughts of a man's heart are evil. Bible talks about the thoughts and intents of the heart. We think in our heart. That's where we do our thinking, our meditation, our rummaging. The imaginations, we imagine in our heart. You ever have some really weird imaginations? You have some weird dreams? Where do you think it's coming from? You got a faulty heart. I have to be careful. For some stupid reason, every now and then, I'll lay down to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, I'm starting to dream about something bad happening to one of my kids. Why? I don't hate my kids. I don't even dislike my kids. Really, I like them. In fact, I love them. Why would I think that? Well, I think of two things. We have an evil heart. We also have an enemy who's going to attack us in our imaginations and in our heart with the imaginations of our heart. Did you ever think about the things that you entertain in your heart, in your imagination?
Amen.
And this is critical. This is an important thing to think about. Because what you entertain from the imaginations, wherever it came from, if it came from TV, if it came from somebody's stupid story or somebody's stupid joke, or just something that you happen to think about, what you entertain in your mind is going to become a part of your life, and a part of the way you think, and a part of what your heart follows after, and you get yourself in trouble.
Amen.
Because you've got a corrupt heart.
Amen.
Because of the imaginations that you allow to go on in your heart. I've had to learn to wake myself up when I get bad dreams. I refuse to dream about bad things happening to my kids. Do you ever think that maybe your heart can be disciplined and you can change your imaginations and you can change the way you think? Because you made a decision, I'm not going that road. I'm not going to imagine that. Same thing happens when you get bad thoughts, evil thoughts. You get an evil idea, an evil lustful idea or some other thing that comes to your mind, and it seems very entertaining. It seems very pleasurable. You seem like, well, that would enjoy thinking about this for a while. And all of a sudden it dawns on you, that's evil.
Amen.
It's not worth my time. It's going to get me in trouble.
Amen.
I need to stop. I need to stop that imagination and not entertain it. Take it away from me. Get rid of it. And sometimes I got to do it many times. But we need to fight because our imaginations need to be controlled and watched over. We have imaginations in our heart. Our beliefs come from our heart. Think about what it says in Romans. You believe in your heart. And that he that believeth in his heart shall be saved. Belief comes from the heart. Desire comes from the heart. The wicked desires, the Bible says. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. And then desires of our own heart. It says, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable. Another place the psalmist says, my heart is inditing a good matter. Those are some good things to have going on in your heart. Meditations of God. And when God talks about meditating in his law day and night, that's in your heart. That's where you meditate. It's where you think. It's where you cogitate. It's where you put all this together and process it. And it comes out. And this is where you administer your whole life right out of your heart. It talks about another place that you will consider in your heart. You commune with your own heart. And you should understand with your heart. You know that foolishness is in the heart? Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. That's not popular today. But it's still true. Amen. One of the problems we have is dealing with adults who still have foolishness bound up in their heart. Somebody didn't drive it from them. Now, parents, you have an obligation to train your children and work with them on dealing with their heart. I've got to learn to deal with me on my heart. Don't you think I should be able to teach my children a little bit about dealing with the problems that they have in their heart? We do. And children need to be taught to control the imaginations, the thoughts, the meditations, the conclusions that they come up with in their heart. Said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Foolishness, it's in the heart. So the fool hath no delight but that his heart may discover itself. Round and round and round and round. If they don't get to the word of God, they're going to have a problem. The foolishness of man and his heart fretteth against the Lord. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Before destruction of heart, of man, the heart is haughty. Pride and foolishness are two things that we don't need, we don't want, we need to be careful of, but they're found in the heart. And that's just natural. Foolishness is in the heart of a child. Heart is also where we determine value. It's where we make choices, where we make decisions, where we set our direction. It says, whose heart departeth from the Lord? They chose to go away. It says, these kings' hearts in Daniel chapter 11, these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. They made a decision in their heart to do something wrong, and his heart shall be to do against the holy covenant. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. You make the decisions about which way you're going to go in your heart. In your heart. My heart said unto thy face, Lord, will I seek. Talks about speaking the truth in your heart. Also talks about a willing heart to give. Hardest thing we have to do is give other people our money. But that comes from the heart. You want to give to God? That comes from the heart. It's a willing heart. We choose. We make decisions to go that way. We also make purposes and plans and preparations in our heart. It says Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. He made a decision. He said, I am not going to do that. He tried his best to do it the best way he could. The Lord helped him in it. He was blessed in it, and the Lord exalted him in it. But three men that walked with him about two chapters later come up later, and they also had a purpose in their heart. They said, I'm not bowing down to that image. Right. They had a purpose already set. They start their purpose on a small thing, a small scale. But when it came to a big thing, the purpose was already set because they'd already purposed not to defile themselves. And when the king said, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace, I'm sorry, but I've already decided I'm not going to bow down to your idol. And we have the great story, the great miracle, the throw of these three men into the fire. And all of a sudden the king sees four men walking around and they have no hurt. There's no smell of smoke on them. There's no smell of fire. And they walk out and then the king says, what happened to you? Let me tell you about my God.
Amen.
You know where that came from? They made a purpose in their heart because they made a decision. And we do this all the time. We're always making decisions in our heart. What do we want? What do we like? What am I going to follow after? What am I going to choose? Everything comes out of the heart. All of our life is decided in the heart. It says, now Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. You want to know how to prepare your heart? Here's a good one. Choose to follow God. We make choices in our heart. And you can choose to go that way, or you can choose to go that way. We have examples like Ezra. He prepared his heart to seek the law of his God. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord, it says in 1 Samuel. And prepare their heart unto thee, it says in 1 Chronicles. He did evil, it says in 2 Chronicles. He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Two examples, opposite examples. You've got a choice. You can prepare to serve God, or you can prepare not to serve God. But the choice is up to you. And it all comes back to what you're doing in your heart. One other thing we do in our heart, we gather knowledge, we gather wisdom, we gather instruction, and we're told to gather it in our heart. We're told to build it up. We're told to apply it to our hearts. It says to our, we're told to apply our hearts unto wisdom. It says, and when wisdom entereth into the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge, the Bible says, and apply thine heart unto instruction. Be wise, my son, and guide thine heart. I'll get back to that one a little bit. It says in Proverbs 17 that they had no heart for wisdom. That's a pretty bad statement. Pretty sad. I don't want to be wise. And I've tried to use where we've got these verses and tried to apply them here where it talks about heart. But you look through the Bible and you find all these places where it talks about thinking. And meditating and contemplating and the way that you consider and the way you make choices and the way you do some things. It's talking about what you're doing in your heart. Your heart is the very core of your being, the very core of where you exist. You think it's this flesh? You think it's that good-looking face you got? It's not that. The heart is what's way down deep inside of you. The heart is what's there so that you have to make decisions and follow a life and make choices about what you're going to do in life. All of that's done in the heart. And we need to be careful with our heart. Let's see if I can get to the right verse. I always do this. Oh, oh well, let's see. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. I don't think there's anything I'm going to say this morning that's new. But as Paul said, I'm going to write the same thing to you. For me, it's not grievous, but for you, it's safe.
Amen.
We need to be reminded of some things. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Most of us don't want to keep our heart. We'd like to just be able to coast through life. I'm there. I would like it so that, okay, I figured it out. Now I'm just going to coast. But you know what? You're not allowed to. Every single day, you're going to make more than one choice. You're going to face more than one decision. You're going to have to deal with life because your heart is involved in life. And there are all sorts of things going on. There's all sorts of stimulus. There's all sorts of interruptions. There's all sorts of people talking to you and Satan coming in and devils trying to give you ideas and temptations of things you shouldn't follow. And you got to get up in the morning and make a decision. Sometime I'm going to read my Bible today and I'm going to apply it today. And I'm going to try and pray today and I'm going to try and make God my Lord today. And then you go outside and you have all these temptations and you got a problem. And all of the issues of life are based and decided and chosen in the heart. You ever look at babies? How hard is it to train a baby to obey? Ouch, that hurts. Oh, he's such a sweet little thing. No, he's not. I've only got one grandkid and another foster one right now, and I love both of them. And she loves me. And I like playing with her. But she is as rebellious as she thinks she can get away with. I guarantee it. I watch it. Mama says, do this. And she just... You can see her look over here to see if anybody's watching. She's rebellious because her heart is rebellious. Do you think you're any better?
No.
We're just big kids. That's what we are.
Amen.
We have a problem with our heart. Remember what it said? It's deceitful above all things. It's trying to fool you to thinking you're a good guy.
Amen.
You ain't never met a liar bigger than your heart. And it's desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. You need to keep it. You need to watch it. You need to guard it. That word keep is an old-fashioned word for guard, to protect, to take care of, to watch over. You need to keep your heart. That means when your heart wants to go that direction, you got to say, no, we're not going that direction. When your heart says, I want to go this way, you say, no, I'm not going that way. And when you get to the shopping center and you go through the grocery store, you get to the aisle where the cashier is, and they got all these little candies and Cokes and goodies. No. A good old-fashioned no. You think that's being very simplistic, Eddie. You're right. But it's the basic issue of our life. What are you going to tell your heart? When the heart comes up and says, I want that. How are you going to make a decision? Do you have anything to make a decision with? We do. We have the Word of God. We've had parents. None of us in here are babies or children. We've had a chance to go through life, and the Bible says that there's wisdom all around us if you just open your eyes and look at it. So you have to make a decision. What are you going to do? You remember that the heart is wicked and a liar. I actually have on my wall where I study in the morning. I sat down years ago when I was going to go counsel a young man. I wrote some things down, and one of them is remember that the mind slash heart is lying. Do you remember your heart is lying to you? Can you keep that in your mind? Can you keep that in the way you think? Can you keep that in the calculations you make as you go through your day and choose what you're going to do and how you're going to do it? Your heart is lying. It says in one place, labor not to get rich. You think that's a good guide? We all want to be richer than we are. I ain't never met a person yet that didn't want to have more money than they've got. I've met some rich people. Some fairly well-off people, and me, and I want more money than I got. It's amazing. I don't need more money than I've got. I waste a lot of money. I have tools in my shed that I bought years ago, and I had a good excuse, a good reasoning, a good rationale behind buying them. I have never used them. It's a good tool. Nothing wrong with it. I have a biscuit joiner. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a little thing where you put two pieces of board together and you put that little slot in there and you put the little piece of wood in there with glue and you put it together and hold it and it glues and holds it. I've never used it. I bought the tool. I bought the biscuits. I bought the glue. It's been sitting there for 15 years. Now, you're laughing at me. What do you have? The fact of the matter is that we let our hearts guide us into things without thinking very clearly. Now, at that particular time, I didn't take money out of my wife's pocket. I didn't take food out of my kids' table. I mean, I didn't hurt anybody but my own stupidity. And I don't like confessing this, but I still have that tool. And I'm one of these idiots that doesn't sell tools. I keep them. One day I may find a use for it. Amen. I bought a tool one time that I needed. I had a good use for it. And it sat on the shelf for 4 years. I said, okay, I need to use that tool. Went out there and started using it. It didn't work. What am I going to do with a brand new tool that's never been used and it doesn't work, but it's been 4 years since I bought it? I had to go buy a new tool. Our heart gets us in trouble. Do you know that your heart deals with the issues of life, love, loyalty, prosperity, job, career. There's all sorts of things that your heart is involved in, and you need to be careful with it. One other thing I want to mention about thinking. Your heart has to deal with eternity. Most people don't think about eternity. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of mirth. For that is the end of all things, and the wise will take it to heart, apply it. I may have misquoted that last part. Why is it better to think about death than about partying and having a good time? Because that's where we're all headed. Can you take a long look? Do you remember when you were being taught how to drive? First time you get in the car and you know you're supposed to keep the car between the white lines. So you're looking at the white lines. And somebody says, lift your eyes, aim high, aim down the road. And you practice it, and after a while you learn how to drive. You can drive a straight line, but you can't do it looking here. You need to be reminded about eternity, because that's where we're all headed.
Amen.
And that's an issue of the heart. Because our hearts are wicked. Because our hearts are desperately evil and I can't even talk about deceptive. We need to make things right with God. We need to remember God. We need to remember not to be like the fool who said in his heart, there is no God, or the God's not watching me, or I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. End up like the children of Israel when they're being rebuked by the preachers and the pastors and the prophets coming. And they finally said, there's no hope. I'm not going to do it. I've loved my sin, so I'm going to keep doing it. How stupid can you get? Do you not know we face eternity? It's amazing. I'm only 63. I've lived 63 years, and it seems like I've always just, okay, I've got a few more years. I got a few more days. And now all of a sudden, it's right here. Hey, you young people, it's right there. I guarantee you, you listen to these old people, they'll tell you the time goes just like that.
Amen.
And you don't realize it till it's over. When you get right here, all of a sudden you realize, I've had 63 years of life. I've done a lot of good things. I've done a lot of things that I enjoy doing. I've had a lot of fun in my life. But my life is almost over.
Yeah.
What's it worth? What's it worth? If you put all your life together in one spot, in one side of the scale, what's it worth? That comes from the heart. What are you going to decide about eternity and how you're going to prepare for eternity? How you're going to purpose for eternity? How you're going to decide about eternity? What you're going to do for eternity? Jesus made a comment. He said, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be.
Amen.
Also. We need to think about eternity. We need to consider. We need to plan. We need to purpose. We need to hope for. We need to look for eternity down deep in our heart. I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Trying to think about making a point, and I got to looking at this chapter, and I'm just going to go through it real quick. Verse 19, I think it's 19, says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. That's good instruction. It's something we can do. Too many people think, well, the heart wants what it wants. It's just going to do whatever it wants to do. No. You can do something about it. The Bible tells us to guide our heart.
Amen.
I'm just going to go through this real quick because there's a lot of good instruction. A lot of little guideposts, signs that you can put in your heart. You can put different places. And so when you start to wander, you can remember, I got something here I can use to guide my heart, guide my choices, guide my wants, guide my desires, guide my impulses and my urges. Because that's what it's talking about. Go through it with me real quick. I don't plan on spending a lot of time here. It says, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Verse 4, it says, labor not to be rich. That's good instruction, because it's going to get you in trouble. It says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle. There's another good point. Eat not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a cheat. He's going to steal. Be careful. It says in verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. You don't have to deal with everybody. It says, remove not the old landmarks, enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Be careful who you deal with and be careful how you deal with them. For their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. It says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. It's another good piece of advice. It says in verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Ooh, that's not good now. That's not very popular, but it's still effective. Now, I don't mean you need to go out and just beat them. You need to plan. You need to plan your discipline. You need to think about how you're going to do it. Stephen was reading some verses the other day, and he talks about how God says that we chastise our children for our own pleasure, but he does it for our profit. Take some time to sit down and plan a discipline plan so that you can train your children so that at the end of their life they have some profit.
Amen.
From your chastisement. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, yea, even mine. It says in verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners. Woo! That's some good advice. Because we get envious at people who seem to be doing better than we are. They seem to get away with things that we would like to get away with. Be not envious of sinners.
Amen.
For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Wow. Don't be a partier. Make your life not about parties. Make your life about living for God. Make your life for living for righteousness and doing what you're supposed to do. It says, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the men with rags. Verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. There's good advice. Even when they get old, you still listen to them. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
Woo! That's one we ought to have on the frontlets of our eyes. We ought to remember that all the time because there's all sorts of liars around there. We know our hearts are lying to us. We know we need to be careful. Buy the truth. Where are you going to get the truth? From the Word of God. And from people who follow the Word of God. It says in verse 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. We have a world full of fornication. Why? Because we like it.
Amen.
It's all around. And we are inundated day in and day out with images and temptations and ideas that come to our heart. And we've got to be careful.
Amen.
We need to remind ourselves of some things. Then it says in verse 29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Be careful of some things. This whole chapter, I was amazed as I was looking at it, because I'm trying to find different things to make this point. Guide your heart. And this whole chapter is full of it. You ought to mark it down and maybe memorize the chapter. There's some good things for life here. Just practical things for your life. Guide your heart. It says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. They have stricken me, the last verse. Shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And then he goes back to it. Not showing very much wisdom here. Proverbs is a very good book to find guideposts for the heart. Psalms is a very good book to find guideposts for the heart. Tell you something else. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, all the way through. You can find guideposts for your heart. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. That's a guidepost for the heart. All the way through you can find guideposts, and you set them up and you start walking this life, and all of a sudden you get to a point where there's a decision, or you don't know, and you're out of sync. And all of a sudden a guidepost comes up. Amen. You ever been driving or thinking about something within yourself, and you're going through it in your mind and you're trying, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this decision? All of a sudden a verse crops up. God's saying, here's a guidepost. That's happened to me lots of times. One of the things I appreciate about having the Word taught to me when I was a kid and having read it all during my life, I know some things that sometimes I don't even remember, but God brings them up as guideposts in my life. Guide thine heart for very interesting things. I want to go back to this concept of the abundance. I'm almost out of time. Apparently I got 4 minutes left. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You want to know how to judge what's in your heart? What are you talking about? Amen. We have that joke about lawyers. You know, when do you know if a lawyer's lying? Whenever he opens his mouth. We know our heart's lying. What are you talking about? What are you thinking about all the time? What are you doing? What's in your heart? You can judge what's in your heart. You need to judge what's in your heart. You need to take stock of what's in your heart and what you're thinking about, what you're going for, what you're doing with your life, because it affects the whole of your life and all of eternity. I'm going to give you a quick example about the abundance of the heart. I have 3 children. I love them dearly. I know that they love me. And I know that as I raised them, I taught them to be obedient. I taught them to be respectful. And they were good kids. One day I'm sitting in the living room on the couch with my wife, watching TV, probably some stupid cartoon. My kids are sitting a few feet in front of me, all 3 of them on the floor right next to each other. I have them in my mind as David and Brian and Laura, and they're engrossed in the TV, whatever show it was. I came to a certain point, and I said something to my kids. I don't even remember exactly what I said, but something like, okay, it's time to go get up and go wash your hands because it's time to eat. Something innocuous like that. Nothing dangerous, heavy, I mean terrible. They didn't hear me. There was no response. Their eyes are focused on that TV. So I said it again, a little bit louder. Absolutely no response. Just focused on the TV. And I'm thinking, I'm not getting through to them. So I said it a third time, which is not my habit. But I give my kids the benefit of the doubt. Okay, they didn't hear me the first time. For some reason, they didn't hear me the second time. This must be a really engrossing show. I am bored stiff with it, but it must be a really engrossing show. So I told them a third time. No response. Now I said, I know that my kids love me. I know that they respect me. I know that they trust me. I know that they have all these great affections for me. But no response. I turned to my wife and I whispered, do you want some ice cream? That fast. All three kids turned around. I want some. What was in their heart? I'll tell you what was in their heart. Selfishness. Self-desire. Pleasure. Pleasing me. What I wanted. The things in life that make a difference and make your character worth something and worth living in this life. Somehow we're not coming out. They weren't willing to be obedient, but they were willing to eat ice cream. They weren't willing to listen, but they were willing to taste that sweet stuff. They wanted the good. They wanted all this fancy stuff, but they weren't willing to do what they needed to do to grow up, to be respectable, productive citizens in our nation. What's in your heart?
Amen.
Think about it. The abundance of the heart. Fill your heart with the things of God. Fill your heart with the things, the love of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I mean, there's all sorts of things we can go through, and I ran out of time. But I want you to know the abundance of the heart is something you need to work on. What are you going to fill your heart with? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen.